Good morning, Community Church of Murphy's at Murphy's Landing. I always wanted to say but I know it's at now. And I appreciate the opportunity to bring you a message today, not a sermon, but a message. And it's one that's very passionate in my wife's and my heart. And with that, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Mike Dragon, and my wife is Pat, joining us today. And we've been with OMS, I've been with them for like 19 and a half years. And my wife joined about a year and a half later after I did. But I also bring greetings to you from other OMS friends that you have. You support Daryl and Kelly Chambers. They send greetings. You also support Tom and Tanya Overton. They send their greetings. And David Meek. Those are three of our OMS missionaries that your church supports. And I ask them to pray for my time here with you, but also to bring greetings on their behalf. Well, Pat and I last weekend returned from Asia, South Asia to be a little bit more specific. I wish I could tell you the name, but since it's being recorded, it's a security risk nation. But if you come to Sunday school class, that's a little gig there, is that we will show you some live pictures of where we were, what we did, and you'll be able to figure out where we had been. The other thing that we do is a lot of training. Primarily in the church multiplication venue. The reason why we do that is that we're very passionate about seeing people come to know Jesus around the world. At one point, I was the global director for Every Community for Christ, and then we decentralized, and Pat and I chose Asia as the place where we go. We've been itinerant missionaries. We're not the non-traditional missionaries. A lot of them are residential. But a lot of places that we go, you cannot live and be a missionary. So we come and go, as it says. The theme that we were given was on Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so I was struck by this. Usually when you have a verse that's given to you as a speaker, you want to see the context in which it was. So let's look at the verses before that. I thought it was interesting. It was all about questions, and it reminded me of the training that we do. We do a lot of open questions. The last thing we want to do is to bring the answers to them when we're in their context. It won't work or it doesn't make sense. But let's look at these questions. How can they believe without hearing? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? So those are the questions that come into this theme of how beautiful are the feet. Let's look at the other side of that verse, 15b. It says, but not all obeyed the gospel. Well, that's interesting. I thought when everybody presents the gospel, everybody gets the opportunity to make a decision, and more often than not, it's going to be yes, but not all believe. So faith comes by what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. This is very important. They have to hear. Why is that important? Well, in our world today, does anybody know how many people there are in the world today? Over 8 billion. That's a lot of people. Out of the 8 billion, though, 2 billion of them have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people. A lot of people. More of this is familiar to the Joshua Project. I think the pastor just spoke about a prayer of Somalia. They look at what they call unreached people groups. There's over 7,000 of those unreached people groups in the world today. Did you know that the top 50 unreached people groups all have greater than 12 million people in them? In fact, the top 50 unreached people groups of the world represents 1.46 billion people. They've yet to hear. Today, my first point is, what is God's plan to reach these 2 billion people? What about these unreached people groups? How do we know what to do? How do we know where to go? What are we going to do if we go? And so the God's plan is for the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, what is that plan? I think most of the people here, as I look around, would probably understand that to be the what? The Great Commission. Are you familiar with the Great Commission? Well, let's look at it again. Matthew 28, But Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even until the end of the age," as I remember memorizing it. Wow. What are your thoughts about that plan? It says to go. Does it say who? Us, the people of God. So we have to remember that these are the thoughts of God's plan to go to all nations. That's why Pat and I are very much involved in global missions. Well, what do other people think about this plan of God's? Well, it's interesting. David Platt says, "Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell." Think about that. How many people do you know in your life right now? They're on this side of hell. They've never chosen to follow Jesus. God's plan is to reach them. God's plan is to save them. What is going to be our part? Well, we have a big part to play. Let's look at another one. I like this one. Global evangelization will not come through opportunity, but rather through obedience to God. We read the verse, until someone is sent. We read the verse, until someone is heard. How are they going to hear if no one's sent? That's why we have 2 billion people in our world today that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, let alone given the opportunity to make that decision. Obedience is on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ, his people. So my next point is, what about God's people? Well, as the people who follow Jesus, what are we going to be doing in the kingdom of God? Well, let's look at a few verses. Let's look at Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. It talks about preaching the good news of the kingdom. So first of all, we need to know what that good news is before we can tell it. And we also need to know who we're going to tell. Well, those unreached people groups, they need a shepherd. It's pretty obvious. If they need a shepherd, how are they going to know if they need it or not? Otherwise, they will seek it in other ways. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for this people without a shepherd. But then look, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. What percentage of church revenues do you think is spent on world missions or global missions? Most research shows less than 1%. Less than 1% of the revenues that come into this church or other churches on the average is less than 1% for global missions. That may be why the workers are few. They're not being sent. Therefore, pray to the harvest to send out workers into this harvest. Well, God has prepared the hearts and minds of many people around the world. They're waiting. They're praying for someone to share the good news. The global church of Jesus Christ is commanded to go and to share. So how do you find yourself praying for missions? How do you find yourself praying for missionaries? Yes, they are being sent, but there's still many that need to be sent. The one that got me was sitting in Africa, and we were doing some training. And the speaker asked a very difficult question that I've listened to and have embraced to this place. When was the last time you shed tears for someone who was lost? Many times we shed tears for those who are going through battles with depression, those who need healing, those who've had surgery, those who have broken relationships. How often do we find ourselves praying for the lost? How often do we find ourselves praying for someone to come to know Jesus? And more importantly, how often are we praying, "Lord, give me the opportunity to share the gospel with someone to follow Jesus"? These are all difficult questions. They're difficult for me. They're difficult for you. But let's look what Oswald Smith says. We talk of the second coming. Half the world almost has never even heard about the first coming. What are we going to do? What are we going to be about? As we look at the unreached people groups, I just want to share with you on behalf of OMS that we've joined an organization called Coalition of the Willing. In fact, our executive director, Chris Williams, sits on the board of this organization. And it's the idea that we want a church for every village for people to have it, the opportunity to go and worship. And that's not for only every village, every place, but also every generation. We are currently engaging in mapping. One of the things that we found is a lot of mission organizations kind of stack on top of each other in the same place. But here's my tribe, it's called the Baptists. Here's my tribe called the Methodists. Here's my tribe called the Pentecostals. Whatever that tribe is, they all tend to be in the same general area. We're beginning to say, what does it look like where the Christians are and where do they have a church? That's important. But more importantly is, where are there Christians that don't have a church? Where are there no Christians, therefore no church? And as we begin to map some of these places, we're intentionally dividing up the work among those different tribes of missions to go after that. We've just finished the country of Togo in Africa. They just had a meeting there the last week and a half with all of our area supervisors. And one of the things that we're realizing is that where we're not is where we're intentionally going to do the spreading of the gospel. So we put training centers in place. We train men and women to go out and plant churches in these villages. The OMS goal is to have a church in every village by the year 2050 in the continent of Africa. It's a big goal. We won't be able to do it by ourselves, but we are intentionally going after those unreached places. So not only do we have unreached people now, we got unreached places. It's a dual strategy, and we want to work to that end. Next is, what places, my third point is, what places are we to sow? I would just tell you that Scripture has a way of showing us things that we need to learn from. What are those places we need to sow? What is sowing? Let's look at Matthew 13. This may be familiar with a bunch of you. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower, that's you, that's me, who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Well, that doesn't sound real productive, does it? Well, let's look at the second place. Second place is, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Well, there's a little bit of hope there. It got started, but then it withered away. Let's look at the third place. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. It gives you the impression that it began to grow, but then the thorns came in and it choked it out. It took the resources away from it to be able to be fruitful, and therefore it choked it out and it died. Let's look at the fourth place. Still another seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. Remember what we started with? Who has heard? Have they heard? Has anyone been sent for them to hear? So let's do an analysis, as I like to do, of these four different places. Isn't it interesting that 50% of those four places didn't get anything? They didn't get started. The third place, however, did get started, but was soon choked out. What that says is that 75% of the places where the seed was sown did not produce any fruit. But in the fourth one, it says it was 100, 30, 60 times what was sown. Some of you may not know, but I actually came out of the corporate world. I was a sales executive for a small company. And what happened was, is I learned a lot about return on investment. All right, let's analyze this way. Three-fourths of what I sowed. If I had $1 million and I put $250,000 in all four places, what would my return on investment be? Well, the first one, 250,000 in, zero return. Second one, 250,000 in. Oh, I got a little bit of return, but it didn't last long. Lost it all. The third one, I put in 250,000. That was my IRA. I put it in there, and guess what? The economic changed, and the economics changed so much that I ended up losing it all. But what about the 250,000 I put in that fourth place? Oh, my goodness. Ah, the return on that investment was what? $15 to $25 million. That's a great return on investment. So you might be sitting there like I did thinking, well, let's just forget about the first three places. Let's just pull our money in the fourth one, right? That would be my idea. But that's not God's idea. That is not God's economy. God loves how many people? All of them. He loves each one of you. He loves your relatives. He loves the people that you'll meet as the coming week that never heard about Jesus. He loves them all. He loves them so much that he lavishes us to go out and sow seed in all four places. Some will return void. Some may not hear at all or understand what you're saying. But for those who do and those who respond, the return on investment is 30, 60, or 100 times. But what did it take? The sowing. If you don't sow seed, you're not going to see fruit. If you don't tell people about Jesus, how are they going to know? I'm sorry, but I'm a recovering evangelist. What does that mean? I'm always looking for ways that I can help people understand what Jesus could be in their life. And so one of my favorite ones is that how many people here today, I like this question, how many people here today became a Christian from the silent witness? I don't know any. Why do I say that? Because many people act like the silent witness. Many people live their lives, well, just let them see what I do. Let them watch me, how I treat everybody fairly. Let me watch me as I deal with my life in integrity. Let them watch me as I go to church every Sunday morning. But you never told them about Jesus Christ. You never told them that they could have a relationship with a Savior. And for those you did, thank you. For those that you told about Jesus, thank you. For those that you prayed for them, received Jesus, thank you. Let's look at another quote from Oswald Chambers. No one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who has not heard it once. That's sobering. That is very sobering. So what am I going to do about it? Well, here's one example. What did the church, early church, do? Let's go to Acts 11. And all these verses are in the Christian Standard Bible, which is, I think, the standard version that you guys use. So, but there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and then they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. Did you see what happened here? There were a bunch of men that were talking about Jesus in Antioch, and the organized church in Jerusalem says, we better go check them out. So they send Barnabas down. To who? To the unreached people group called the Greeks. Here were those who were there preaching to the Greeks about salvation of Jesus Christ. And many of them came to know Christ. So they sent Barnabas down. Well, what did he find? When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and large numbers of people were added to the Lord. This is one of those places, number four. It was good soil. There were good men that were preaching. There were good men that were teaching about following Jesus Christ. And a large number came to them. I would just tell you, in my experience, there are a few places in the world today where we've seen large numbers of people come to know Jesus and follow Jesus. Over half of the new believers in OMS's world come from Africa. We have over 36 countries that we're doing the work in. I just heard a report that we have over 870 training centers throughout those 36 countries. And we are seeing great fruit. It is a harvest time, but it's on the shoulders of many missionaries who went before. It's on the shoulders of many Christians who are enduring great persecution. Believe it or not, there's a war going on in Africa, and it's not just a physical war, it's a spiritual war. There are those who have another faith, a religion, from the north, the Middle East, that are coming down to the southern part of the African region where the Christians are the most strong. The Christians are heading north, and so the spiritual battle is on. It's always been there, but it is reaching new heights in the continent of Africa. We call it the tension belt. And if you just drew a line right through the middle, that's where the tension is. Now, Christians and Muslims and tribal people, they all live together. And they try to have a community just like we do here. But the battle lines are being drawn upon religion. And so we've got to be ready to pray for those workers, ready to pray for those people. Why do I bring that up? Because in Asia, where we serve, the persecution is really intensifying. Why so? Nations are now choosing a national religion, and they're saying if you don't follow that religion, then you can't be a part of our country. They don't say that intentionally. They just imply it. What does that look like? Well, that means in some places that if you are of the Christian faith, you will not get into university. If you're of the Christian faith, you will not get a job with certain businesses. Why not? Because you're not the religion of that country. And it's political as well as economic. You will not be able to work. You will not be able to send your kids to school. And you will not be able to get any kind of medical care unless you follow our national religion. Don't fool yourself. That's going on. How do we know that? Well, let's look what John Stott said. We must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. This battle, this spiritual battle, is global. It's just not here in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's global. So you need to know what's going on around our world. The opportunities are huge. Many people have the opportunity to now hear they didn't have before. Through the internet alone, we can touch people, and other people don't know it. There are ministries that focus on this, and they do well. Well, we also have to remember that our response is critical too. All right, we want to reach all peoples and all places and all generations. What are you passing on to your children, to your grandchildren? What does their understanding look like? Well, here are two passages, Matthew 7 and Matthew 9, that I wanted to focus on. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Both of these situations had the opportunity to build a house. What kind of house are you building? Were you building this house? We know the rest of this story was a storm came. What were the consequences of these two? Well, we know that the wise man built on a rock, and he did endure the storm. The foolish man built his on the sand, and he did endure the storm. But the consequence was the man who built it on the sand was washed away. If Jesus is asking us to tell others about him because we know him, what is going to be your response? Maybe you are doubting today. Maybe you are unsure of your faith. Maybe your walk with Jesus is going through some very difficult times. My prayer is that the Lord would show you how to move forward. But it doesn't get any easier. We look over in Luke 9. Jesus says, follow me. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? I think today you would agree with me that we are faced with globalization, hybridization, urbanization, and expansive migration of people around the world. What's an example? Look at our own backyard. There is huge persecution of the Christians in the country of Burma, or Myanmar as it's known today. There's a state they call the Chin State, and in that Chin State was about 80% Christians. As you know, the military took over that country a number of years ago. They use churches as target practice. They're out in the village. The church has a steeple, it has a cross on top. So they use it as target practice for their artillery. How do I know that? Because our workers told us what they experienced. Even today, they're experiencing all that. So you see a lot of people from Myanmar here right now. The inside information is that they call it Chinnapolis. Ever heard that before? Chinnapolis. There are a lot of people from Myanmar, and many of them are Christians. Did you know some of them have actually bought church buildings that have closed, and now they have their own church in their own language? And they're not small either. Some are more than 1,000. That's interesting how God is moving people around the world. By 2050, it's like 80% of the world will be in an urban area. So we see a migration to the big city. The place that we were just at is over 20 million people, and it's growing. So it does happen. But we not only need to think about these unreached people that we talked about and these unreached places, we need to think about where people are, where we live. Yes, I do go across these different countries, and I do train people in reaching people for Jesus. But if I'm not doing anything here in my own backyard, then shame on me. So that's what I enjoy about having a view of a global vision that God has. When we were growing up, we attended a church in Terre Haute. That's where Pat and I grew up. We're childhood sweethearts, not childhood, high school sweethearts. We're high school sweethearts. And we've been at this together for over 50 years. But I'll tell you what, if there's one passion that we both have, it's seeing people come to know Jesus. We not only want to live our life for him over there, but we want to live our life here. So we attend a local church here in Greenwood, where we live. And I would just tell you that our passion to see people come to know Jesus was born out of our growing up in a church that had this tagline, a church with the world on its heart. We never really knew the expanse of that until now, and when we look back, the Lord was preparing the world on our hearts too. So we grew up with the opportunity to see missionaries come in and talk about their personal experience. Some of those countries I was scared to death I'd never want to go to from the stories that they told. Others said, wow, that'd be a nice place to go see. Little did I know that years later, the Lord would call me into full-time mission work at the age of 53 and ask me to go into full-time mission work along with my wife. That took me 6 months to make that decision, but I'll tell you, it was not the wrong one. The last 19 years have been filled with some of the things that I never thought possible. I've been to over 45 countries and seen the people of God and how they reach out to their people. And it's different. The message is not different. It's how they go about it. It's different in different places. So what does that look like? Well, here's God's cry. Every people, every place, every generation. Think about that. Think about how you respond today. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Each one of you here today has the same thing that I have. We are to bring the good news to the people that have never heard and some that have heard but don't understand. But we want to give everyone the opportunity to change their eternal destiny by sharing the good news. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that today we can just stop, understand your plan. Thank you for including us in your plan, Lord, as your people. Lord, they cannot hear if we do not go to them. They cannot hear if we don't explain to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to have a relationship with him. We thank you, Father, that you and you alone have come to save the world. We thank you that we are able to worship you in the communion this morning. We thank you for the songs that we sang. Lord, you are our hope. Even in these trying times we find in our nation, in our world today, you are our hope. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.